Pastor Quincy Carswell.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing this morning? Once again, we are happy that it is Friday. God has given us and brought us through another day. You know, if people say, thank God it's Friday, we're just thank God that he's faithful and it's Friday. Amen. And this morning, we'll be praying over the church purpose and unity of the church. And Pastor Quinn messaged me and told me, he says, Pastor, I believe that we need to uplift the church and the unity and the vision of the church. And it was in my spirit already by saying that, and I just praise God for him and being obedient to it. And I want to go ahead and let him say good morning. He's going to go ahead and start off this morning's prayer call for us. Amen, Pastor Quinn.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor, and thank you so much for this opportunity and heeding the voice and hearing the voice of God and allowing him to direct you in this. I thought since yesterday we dealt with the pastoral role and praying for the pastors, that it's important that we also pray for the church and that God direct the church. You know, it's so important that when we pray for our leaders that we also lift up those who are following the leader as well, to understand the direction of the Lord and where he is taking his leader. And, you know, and one of the things is that what I understand about the church and about people of God is that they must hear the voice of the Lord. And how can they hear the voice of the Lord? How can they hear without a preacher? That's what the word says. So therefore we understand today that if we pray for our churches, if we pray for the body of Christ, if we pray for a change and a renaissance in the body of Christ, that the anointing fall on his people, on God's people, that God will use us mightily. He will use us like never before. So with that being said, I just want to touch bases for a moment on a few scriptures and give you a word on exactly what the church is and what our calling is and what God has commissioned us through his son Jesus to do. In Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 19th verse, we see here now where Jesus gives us the great commission. He says, therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Once again, he says in Matthew 28 and 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is our duty as members of the church, universal, not necessarily dealing with just the local church, but the church universal, that we go out and make disciples, baptizing them, telling people about the goodness of the Lord. One of the most important things that I was in a conversation last night with a member of my church, and we were talking exactly about how the Lord is dealing with the church, and she brought up all of the things that are in the media concerning the church that are turning the people away from God, that are turning the people away from fellowship in the church. It is our duty, it is our role to be living examples. The Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We must understand that we must be living examples unto God, that we may live accordingly to his word, because that is what he has asked us to do. We are a part of his body, and not just in your local church, but the church universal. We are a part of God's body. When we talk about the ecclesia, when we talk about the church, this is the way that Christians have gathered in the name of Christ, and as a consequence, exercise pastoral ministries as a shared responsibility. Listen, you must understand that it is not always, or it is not up only to the pastor to lead people to Christ. It is up to us, the church, to gather together to lead people and share in this responsibility of leading people to Christ. We all are God's disciples. We all are Christ's disciples. And so what we must do is share the gospel with our friends, share the gospel, the good news, with those who we know are lost. I think too many times the church focuses on the negative instead of on the positive. I think too many times I think that in today's society that we have the wrong focus. Our focus needs to get off of what the media is saying and get on to what God is saying. Once again, our focus needs to get off of what the media is saying and get on to what God is saying. God is speaking. And I was talking to some pastors, and I believe I shared this with Pastor Ward, that if ever before the world has its attention, the world has its eyes turned towards the church. We're living in an age now where social networks, social media has displayed the church in a negative perspective. But I believe that God is using that same negativity. He's using that spotlight, if you will, to spotlight his church, to say, what are you going to do now? What are my people going to do now? Are we going to use this spotlight that has been cast on the church for a change, for a revolution of the world? You know, too often the church is looking like the world instead of the world looking like the church. Too often the people of God are looking like the world instead of the world looking like the people of God. Well, we've got to change that, my brothers and sisters. We have to change that. We must understand a second crucial element in defining the church is that the foundational role of it is the foundational role of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament church gradually clarified its awareness that the Holy Spirit empowers the community to do the work of the gospel. You must understand that the Holy Spirit is what empowers you. The Holy Spirit is what gives you the authority to speak things into existence. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to speak over the enemy and over things of this world. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are sons and daughters of the King, which means that we have the authority to speak over certain situations that are happening in this world. It comes to me, and in my spirit, I grieve a lot for the church, because I realize that the church and people have taken, and church people have taken the back burner. They've taken the back seat as it relates to things of this world and speaking out against the ills of this world. As a matter of fact, we have allowed certain ills and certain things to come into the church, to come into our churches that are not of God. We have allowed certain things, unholy, ungodly things, to come into the church that are not of God. Well, what we must do is open up our mouths and speak out against it. We must learn to be revolutionaries. We must learn to be game changers for the Lord. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. In Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse, Jesus speaks to Simon Peter. He says in Matthew, the 16th chapter and 18th verse, New King James Version, he says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we go back one verse, Jesus, or two verses, Jesus is asking the question to his disciples. He's saying, what are they saying about me? What are the people saying about who I am? Who are they saying that the Son of Man is? And then the disciples reply. Some of them say that you are John the Baptist. Others say that you are Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then here comes Simon Peter, and Jesus gets more specific. He says, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter then answered and said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What Jesus was saying was to him, he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed unto you by man," which means that you weren't told this by a man, but you were revealed to this. This was revealed to you through my Father in heaven. What Jesus was saying was, and I think many misunderstand or misinterpret this story, this scripture, but what Jesus was implying when he said, "Upon this rock," what the rock represents is him. The rock represents Jesus, and what Jesus represents is truth. What the church has to get back to is understanding if we stand on the truth, if we stand on the word of God, then what will happen? It will bring a revolution to the world. It will bring a change to how the world views us. For whatever reason, we have strayed away from speaking the truth. We have manipulated the word of God. We have manipulated the word of God into what we feel it ought to say, instead of just plainly speaking it like it is, you know, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I've come to tell you today, people of God, what we've got to learn to do, if we are followers of Christ, if we are believers of Christ, we've got to learn to keep the main thing the main thing. We must understand that we are priesthood of all believers. The community of believers is to guard the truth. Jesus represented the truth. In Jude, the first chapter and the third verse, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of this common salvation, it was needful," listen to this, "needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." There is a body of truth that the church, which is the pillar and the ground of truth, needs to uphold and see to it that it is not perverted. We've got pastors. I spoke on it yesterday, and I said, you know, because there's this business, and it's kind of rocked the church about a video that's out on that hit the social networks, and I've had pastors call me and say, "Well, preacher, what you think about this?" Or I've had clergy members and lay people to call me and ask me, "Well, what are your thoughts about this?" We must not be distracted, people of God. We must not be distracted. We must not be distracted. We must continue to uphold the truth. We must continue to speak the truth. We are pillars of God. We are pillars of the truth, and therefore we must not allow our anointing and what God has placed in us and on us to be perverted. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, "Hold fast in the form of sound words." Listen at this, people of God. "Hold fast in the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." It does not mean that one individual has the right to say, "This is what God's word means to me," and think that because you believe it, it has to be true. No scripture is of any private interpretation. As people of God, the church community has the responsibility to minister to each other. This is the purpose of the spiritual gifts that are recorded in 1 Corinthians 12. Each member can minister to others through intercession, encourage praise and worship, encourage each other to live godly in Christ Jesus. Lastly, each person, each believer, as a believer, we, the corporate body, i.e. the church, have an obligation to evangelize the world. And as I spoke on that, as I began to speak this morning, and that takes place in Matthew the 28th chapter and the 19th verse. I'm done now as far as with my impartation, but I want to remind you, people of God, I want to remind you that the church is not just an organization, but we are, yes, as well, an organism. We are a living body, so therefore we make up the parts of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus being the head. And if we follow the head, not having man religion, but if we follow the head, we are the ecclesia, we are the church, we are the people of God. If we follow the head, if we follow Christ and do exactly as I told Pastor Ward yesterday, I said, Pastor, in my message, I said, we have to pray for the church that we follow Christ and get out of this pastor religion. Get out of this whole thing about, well, my pastor said it and that settles it. No, what about what God said? We got to learn to turn our faces and turn our minds and our hearts to God and follow him in seeking his direction and his will for our lives. Listen, the church is in an era. The church is in a time. The church is in a particular space right now where God is speaking, but we are not willing to listen. We must be willing to listen, people of God. So therefore, let us look to heaven. Let us look to God as we seek his voice, as we seek his heart for us. God, we thank you today. And we thank you, Lord, number one, just for waking us up this morning. Number two, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Number three, God, we thank you for just being who you are. We thank you, Lord, for being God and God all by yourself. Lord, we pray today for the church. We pray for your body of believers. Lord, that you will strengthen your body. Lord, give us the power. Give us the strength to speak to those things, those ills and those ailments, Lord, that are coming into the church to say that they are not of you. They are not of God. Lord, we thank you in advance for your people that they will be courageous in their fellowship of you. Lord, we understand now that it is by no fault of our own that we are here today, but Lord, that your establishment, that you established your ministry through your son, Jesus Christ, and you based it upon the rock of truth. And so, Lord, we're asking right now that you give your people the mandate, that you give your people the authority of truth, to walk in your truth, to walk in your Holy Spirit. Lord, guide us, guide our footsteps, guide our minds, guide our hearts, Lord, that we will be receptive unto your way. We may not understand it, but Lord, we ask right now, even if you have to bend us, even if you have to break us, do so, Lord, that we may walk according to your word, that we may walk according to what your word says. God, we thank you right now, Lord, for your church. Lord, we understand that things may not be like they seem, but Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, that you are working out the details, even if we can't see you, God, working on our behalf, Lord, for your ministry. We understand, Lord, that you are working behind the scenes, and Lord, so we thank you for that. Lord God, we thank you right now for each individual church. Lord, we thank you for every big church, every small church, every mega church, every minimal church, because we understand that we have the same vision, we have the same goal, and that goal is to win souls for the kingdom. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you empower us, that you equip us, that you enlighten us, that you enlarge us, God, to be soul winners. Lord, we understand that it is our duty to be soul winners. And we thank you right now in advance, Lord, for all the great things that your church, that will come out of your church. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, that you will bring about a renaissance in your church. And we bless your name today, Lord, looking forward to the great things from the people of God. Lift us up, Lord, as we lift you up. Bless us, Lord, and we will bless you back by letting the world know what a great God you are. We'll let them know, Lord, that where we've come from, that you brought us, Lord, and where we're going, Lord, you're taking us. And we thank you now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Quinn. Thank you.
Bless you. Bless you.
This morning, our topic is one that definitely touches my spirit. Those of you that follow me on Facebook and Twitter, and I don't know those of you from that part of Simple United, you know that there's been much conversation, and the body of Christ is ailing. And what I mean by that is the church. Pastor Quinn, he said it best, and He said it in his analogy of how we have been stricken by another media blitz of what is going on of attack of the church. And what we must, as he said before, we must not be distracted, but we have to go back to what the Word of God says. And in that, people argue over whether or not it is the Old Testament or the New Testament and what Christ wanted versus what God wanted. People of God, I want you to know this morning that it is not a debate between the old and the new. The law is the law. And God, and God is God. And we must stand on that and stop manipulating the Word of God to appease us and fit our everyday needs. If you can turn with me, Ephesians 5 and 25, subtext B, and it picks up, it says, just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her to make her holy, clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. People of God, as we go this morning, we begin to pray and we begin to speak about the unity of the church and the vision and the purpose and the mission of the church. We have to understand where we must be in alignment, in atonement with God. And in doing that, our prayer this morning is that we stop trying to make ourselves into who we want to be and make the church into what we want it to be and begin to let Christ mold us into who he has called us to be. He says that we should be, that he is to make, and hear this, to make her, that means to make us holy and to make us clean. And the only way that we can do this is by the cleansing of the Word of God. We must get back to Scripture. We must get back to Word. I made a statement to someone and I was talking about, and I was speaking with them about the churches going under and churches being foreclosed on and pastors losing their home and thing I heard about individuals that were saying, well, the pastor should have been doing this and they shouldn't have been doing that and, you know, all these different things, but the church shouldn't be doing this and the church shouldn't be doing that. But I never, it never came that I said that this is a church, and it was a hypothetical situation, but of a church that is busy in the community. People always overlook that. If it is a seven-day church that's open 7 days a week, they overlook that it's automatically that we want to find fault in the church. Even believers, I've seen and heard how they found fault in the church, and they look at so many different things, and even when your pastor may fall short, they don't stand up. They ridicule, and we got to come back to a time and realize that there is one God, and we must go back to the Word of God. And like we said, yes, they're praying for our leaders, but they're praying for one another. And we got to come together in doing that. In Romans 12 and 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. That it is our service to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We got people looking at us. We have to begin to walk according. Now, I'm not saying, and those of you that know me, I'm not saying you walk down the street every day, holy, 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 God bless you, Son of God. Come on, let's be real here. You can love Jesus and not be a Jesus freak, okay? I mean, understand something. We're out to reach the world. And I was out in the Pittsburgh community yesterday, and I was dealing with some dope boys and everything, and it was amazing. And I was with this, I was with another pastor helping him, and he was like, well, pastor, you know, I was talking to this one man, he says, well, pastor, you know what he over there doing? And I'm like, I know, he's working the trap, he's watching over the dope. But I said, but let me talk to him. And I said, young brother, how you doing? And began to strike up a conversation with him. And I said, listen, can I ask you a question? I said, what can the church do for you? And this brother came to me and he says, listen, he says, you know what? I said, give me five things the church can do for your community. And he told me, and the first thing he says, I want to rap. He says, can the church get a studio so I can actually rap about God? And I looked at it and it took me by surprise. And I began to see, here's a young man who's selling drugs. And he said, I want to rhyme and do some rhymes about Christ. I said, so you know enough words that you can make a rhyme about Christ? He said, yeah, and then I'll read it and put some more in it. I said, if you do that, we're doing a festival, and I'll put you in the festival, and you and your crew, and you can perform that. Now, we're going to overlook what you're writing and what you're going to say. And he began to smile, and he was elated, and he began to tell me more. But what I realized is that is what we need to do. We got to stop. And I told him, I said, you can't stop trying to always condemn, but breach them with love. But we can't do that until we have the Word of God inside of us. We can't do that until we stand boldly. I had one guy say, you actually walk the street. Don't you know that they will shoot you? And I'm like, but I walk with a boldness of Christ. And we have to do that. We have to get back to doing what God is saying. And that is, here I said, present yourself a living sacrifice. I may be sacrificing myself while I'm alive, but I'm doing it for the body of Christ, for the kingdom. And we have to get back to that. I'm not uplifting myself, but I'm showing you that as leaders, we lead by example. And we have to begin to do that. And all of us are leaders, leaders in your household, leaders in your small groups within your church. Hebrews 10. 20 through 26, and this is the end. I'm gonna move on quickly. It says, "By a new living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience." And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For we sin willfully. After we have received the knowledge of truth, there remain no sacrifice for our sins. Now, the NIV version says, we now come to God by the new living way. Christ made this way for us. He opened the curtain, which was his own body. We have a great religious leader over the house of God. And so let us come near to God with a true heart full of faith. Our heart must be made clean from guilty feelings, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold on to the hope we say we have not be changed. We can trust God that he will do what he promised. Let us help each other to love others and to do good. Let us not stay away from church meetings. Some people are doing this all the time. Comfort each other as you see the day of his return is coming near. And I want you to hear this. It's like, if we keep on sinning because we want to after what we have received, here, if we keep on sinning because we want to after we have received and know the truth, there is no gift that will take away the sins of thee. People of God, as we go into the throne, I want you to understand, as we do the work, you still must be a part of the local assembly. And you're part of a local assembly because you unite together as one. And that one, you come together as one purpose, and you can take over a community. You can take over a neighborhood. You can take over a city. You can take over a state. You can take over a world. But we gotta do this as uniting as one. We cannot forsake the local assembly. But we must make sure that we come together in love. And it also says we must uplift one another, praying for one another. So as we do this, let us begin to pray for one another, keeping each other lifted in prayer, and making sure that we know that since Christ has came and he died for us, after Christ there is no other chance. This is it. So we got to stop making excuses and stop putting off, because Christ did the final sacrifice. And the only thing we got to do is trust and believe in him and his promises. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you first of all saying thank you, Father. Father, let us come together and unite as one, Father. Let the church of God be one church, Father. One church following after you and your scripture, Father. Father. Let us stop following after tomfoolery right now, Father, of our own way, leading to our own understanding, Father. Let us stop trying to manipulate the Word of God, Father. Let us stop trying to manipulate the church, Father. But let us reach the community. But let us present ourselves holy and living sacrifices unto you, Father. Let us begin to study to show ourselves approved unto you, Father, that says in 2 Timothy 2:15, Father. Father, let us be children of you, Father. Let us go out and reach men. Let us be fishers of men, Father. Father, we come to you this morning, ask you to cover the church body. Cover your children, Father, as we ask you to cover the pastors, Father. Cover each member, Father, each Sunday school teacher, Father, each Bible leader, Father, each small church group, Father, from every large church to every small church right now, Father, and give them that boldness and that strength of faith to go out into the community to do your work, Father. Let us stop being competitive within the body of Christ, Father. I say this once again. Let us stop being competitive within the body of Christ, trying to outdo one another, but let us come together, unified as one church, serving you. Let us stop trying to prove and see who is more prolific and more theologically astute, which church can do it better, which pastor can preach longer, which one can tune higher, which one can squall better. Let us begin to do what you called us to do and reach your people and feed your sheep, Father. Let the children of God, the congregation, the assembly come together and assemble. Let everyone on this call find a church that they can go into, Father, and let them begin to understand it. It's not their job just to come and sit, but to come together and work, Father. Let us begin to work in your kingdom and be fishers of men and go out among the cities, Father, spreading the gospel and the good news of Christ as we've been called to do, Father. This is a simple prayer, Father. We ask this in your darling Son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, children of God, this morning. I thank you. I know we went over a little bit. I do apologize. I do respect your timing, but I want you all to keep the body of Christ lifted. I did tell you all that I would be announcing something that was going to be happening. I did have a meeting, and I've been charged with planting a new church within the East Atlanta area, the East Lake community. I praise God for it. And I met with them, and what we're getting ready to do, I'm getting a core group of individuals together that want to go and take over the neighborhood by storm. And we want to provide, and understand, I know that there are churches over there, and I have a great friend who's a pastor over there, and I'm going to reach out to him. And the thing is, I'm not competing. Hear me. We're not planning a church to compete. We're not planning a ministry to say that someone's not doing it right. We're planning it because there's a need, because every sheep has, there's a shepherd for every sheep. Okay, just like you go to different restaurants because they cook differently. It doesn't mean one restaurant is bad. It's just that one restaurant has a different taste and serves that need for the people that go there. And we know that there's a need. So therefore, I'm asking, I'm charging, if there are any of you that want to take part of this challenge with me, please, please message me. Please let me know and stand with me. I want to uplift the praise to Stephen Clark. I thank you for your prayers and your intercessory, brother, and being faithful on this call. I know you didn't think I acknowledged it, I noticed, but I thank you for it. And God is going to use you, and I want you to be staying faithful and keep spreading the good news as you study to the Word of God. I thank you all this morning, and I pray that you keep us lifted in prayer, keep power of faith lifted in prayer. We're going to be doing some great things into the community, going out and meeting their needs. We're going to do quite a few festivals and quite a few outreach ministries and things you think that you want to share with me that we can do to touch that community. If you know someone in that community, put me in contact with them. I want to reach them. I want to make sure that we're doing God's will, not my will, but thy will be done. I thank you. Next week, we're going into a series. We're going to be praying first on Monday over marriage and relationships. Marriage and relationships. And you're going to understand the difference between the two, because there's a vast difference. There's a difference between marriage and relationship. And then we're going to be praying over the men, and then we're going to be praying over the women. And we want to. I pray that you get everybody on the call for that, because it's going to be earth-shattering. It's going to be something that you need to hear that's going to bless your spirit. And this month, I promise you, wake up early. Don't forget, set your alarm clock, because marriage and relationship, we're going to have a word from God. Amen, Pastor Quinn?
Amen, amen.
So I bless you. Wake up early. So we charge you, we thank you, love you, and be blessed.